All right. Hey. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Look, folks, I'm doing a local podcast. Good morning. September the 23rd, 2024. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. Hope it's great wherever you are at. It is Monday. I thought I would sit down. Maybe I can start the week off with the podcast, wrapping up the weekend. Kicking off a new week. So far, so good. No problems. Big weekend, big week. Everything's a big day. Everything's good. Big week of weekend of football. A lot of fun there. Got up this morning. Big preparation. I was laughing. My buddy, who I used to work with, him and I were big drinkers together. My God, we used to hang out down in Dewey. Major consumption. Definitely sped up my process of ending up in those rooms, but him and my buddy and I definitely used to take up Dewey Beach a lot. He posted this morning, he's like, half my crew is, I don't know if he said they got the flu or half has COVID. I remember those mornings. I definitely can remember those Monday mornings waking up. My big night, unfortunately, we would go out on Thursday nights. Thursday nights seem to be the ones that brought the most trouble for me, and Friday mornings were never good, but Monday mornings were never, actually, every morning I used to wake up drunk, so it didn't really matter, but Monday mornings can always be tough, especially after the football season. The Eagles won yesterday, barely. I'm sure there was a lot of people quite intoxicated over that game, but I don't know. My wife and I just went for a walk. Trying to get our exercise on together, trying to do it together. And yeah, I was just laughing. I'm like, I'm so grateful that we do not drink. Before the Fall, definitely been on this podcast before, but I'm making the list. I actually played the list for myself the other day. A good group of songs for me, at least. I don't know. Sometimes I think, oh man, these songs are so good, and there's probably about a bunch of people out there that think these songs are terrible. But whatever, it's just a song. So another grateful day to be sober. It's become quite a routine. Sometimes I take for granted the peace and serenity that is in my life. I forget how chaotic and troublesome it can be to live in that existence. And it's become so normal to not have so much drama. And no hangovers, no fights, no cops, all that shit. It's just, you know, just living a normal life. We're walking down the street, just enjoying ourselves, and just super grateful that we have what we have today. And really the reason we have all of it is because we're sober. Don't ever want to forget that. Yep, but it is starting a new week. I have kind of a crazy schedule today. I'm actually going to, my father, the one and only, is coming home today. So that's pretty exciting, sort of. I got up this morning, went and got him some milk and some bread and some bananas and some flowers. I bought him some flowers and put him in a vase so that it would brighten up his house. You know, just fixing him up, getting him all set, make sure his fridge is loaded up and ready. And I'm going to go pick him up around 10:30, so in about an hour, and start the process of bringing the man home. And, yeah, should be interesting. I went and visited him yesterday. You know, I would consider myself a pretty decent son, right? I wouldn't say I'm doing anything that's really special. I think all of us would do this for our parents. But it's definitely, it's trying. It can be definitely trying. And that's not my dad's fault. My dad's just getting old. I've even, you know, at 56, I've even changed, right? I'm not the guy that I was in my 20s or in my 30s or in my 40s even. You know, as we evolved, you know, I've changed. Excuse me. And so is he. And some of the changes that, I would imagine most of the changes that I've made in my life have been allowed, right, by my wife and kids, right? I don't get too upset. I don't stomp my feet around too much. If I did, that would probably be because they've sort of allowed it, right? And problems are problems until, like, what was it? Mike Tyson says, you think you know what you're doing until you get punched in the face. And that's sort of how life is for me today and with my dad. You know, it's all been pretty good, right? But, you know, one of the challenges for my dad is that he can be quite negative. And I can even be negative, right? But it is, like I went and visited him yesterday. You know, I took him clothes. I actually feel bad because... not answering that. I sort of felt bad because the other night or the day I was there, and the doctor was like, you know, you can wear regular clothes. I hadn't even brought him regular clothes. I sort of just assumed that you just kind of hang out in your gown, right? And she's like, you know, you're the only person in this place that's in a gown, right? Everybody else is in clothes, sweats, shorts, whatever it is. My dad was the only one that had chosen not to... advance himself into better wear. Part my fault, but he had no desire to. So if he'd have said, I need some clothes, I'd have been like here in 2 seconds. But I did get him some clothes, brought him the other day, and I went and visited him yesterday. And he's just, you know, kind of that half-empty guy still. And I'm like, you know, Dad, it's like I talked about yesterday. You just have to have that attitude of gratitude, right? Well, you would hope. I can't say what you just have to have, but I was hoping that he would start to, you know, pick up his attitude of gratitude, right? You know, listen, man, especially in a place like that, it is not hard to recognize how lucky and well he is doing, right? I mean, you have many facets of people in that place, some completely out of their mind, right? Some people... you know, maybe fell and are just rehabbing. People like my dad who, you know, just had pneumonia, which is a big deal. But, you know, I told him yesterday, I go, you know, you should leave here stronger and better than you did when you came in, because not only is he, you know, cleared up that pneumonia and stuff, but they've been like making him lift some weights, right? Doing some occupational stuff, walking with the walker, which my dad didn't use prior to going into the rehab. He was walking with his cane, but now he's got his walker, and he's just sort of gotten worse, right? And I'm like, Dad, you have to really, you know, try to be positive. And I don't, you know, and he gets pissed. And I know it's because of his age, and I would like to think that it's because I allow it, right? But I'm not changing him. He is not changing. Well, I shouldn't say that. There are parts of him he is not changing. But yesterday I was, you know, I got a little frustrated. I'm like, you know, Dad, you know, we're getting out of here tomorrow. You know, you need to fucking get with the program a bit. You know, start acting like you're leaving. Start acting like you're feeling better. Start whatever it is, right? I don't know. Maybe people think that's wrong, but, you know, I don't. I just feel like he has to start getting on board. And he's like, I'm not the problem. You're the problem. And he yelled at me. And I go, you know what, man? I'll catch you later. And I left. I walked out because I get sick of that. He always attacks me, right? It's always this, I am the problem. And I could be. I am absolutely the problem. I am what's standing between him and being, you know, in bed, staying in a gown, not changing his socks, not taking a shower. I am that guy that stands between him. So I am the problem. But, you know, it's just tough. And so I was like, you know what? I'm out of here. I left. He's safe. He's fine. The part that was like kind of annoying, or not annoying, but the part that was, I guess, frustrating is that my dad has this roommate, and he has been in bed. I mean, he's invalid. He's stuck in bed. You know, unfortunately, when you're stuck in bed, things happen that requires more assistance from other people, which is a shame. And I know it's embarrassing and stuff. But I went to visit my dad a couple days ago. I go to see my dad every day. Every single day I go see my dad. So I was there, you know, 2 days ago. And we're sitting there chatting, and my dad's roommate's over there. And I could see him right on the other side. There's like a curtain, right, that sort of separates the two beds. And it's sort of pulled half back. And I can see my dad's roommate, and he's over there just doing work, right, just trying to get these freaking pants on, right? He's got his, I guess he took his pajamas off, and he was putting on these sweatpants. And I was probably there for an hour, and this guy must have worked on it for half an hour trying to get these pants on. Finally got him on. Got him up, right, up to the, you know, the tough spot. And I was like, hey, buddy, you need me to get the nurse to help you? He's like, no, I got this. And he got the pants on, right? He got those pants on. And my dad's like, he's been in that wheelchair this whole time, right, or in bed. He's got a lot of trouble. He's having a lot of problems. And but I tell you what, when I went to visit my dad, me and my dad are sitting out in the lot. We're out in the, you know, in the common area. My dad's in his gown. And this guy, my dad's roommate, is freaking walking up and down the hall with his walker and the person that's doing the physical therapy with him. And he is just on a mission. And, you know, he wants to get better. He wants to get out of this place. He wants to get out of that bed. He doesn't, and I don't know how old he is. He's probably older than my dad. And he was determined. And I'm like, look at this guy, you know. I sort of had the idea, my dad had sort of led me to believe that he was just a bed-bound person, not getting up. Well, he got up, and he was walking with that walker, and I was just like, yeah, let's go, buddy. I'm like, let's go. And my dad's like, he hasn't done that before. And I'm like, well, Dad, you know, he wants this. He wants to get better, and you have to do the same. And he got sort of pissed off, and then, you know, one thing led to another, and I left. And the one thing that is different about my dad is that he called me probably a couple hours later, and he was like, I'm sorry. And one of the things that they've told him is that he his brain is foggy from the anesthesia. We had anesthesia a month ago, 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago. And he's like, once this shit gets out of my head, I go, Dad, I don't think you have anesthesia, anything from the anesthesia. I think it was a month ago, and you didn't even, it's not like you had open heart surgery. They just, you know, suctioned out your bronchioles. I mean, yeah, that's something, but, gets all mad. I don't know. You know, I really don't know what to do. I'm trying to find humility. I'm trying to be patient. You know, I'm trying to do this with love. I do love my dad. I'd do anything for him, but it's just, boy, it can be a little challenging. So, he called me. He's like, he goes, you know, and this is how I know my dad's saying sorry. He goes, yeah, the clothes that you brought, those are perfect. And, I go, you got the belt? He goes, yep, the belt is perfect. The shirt is perfect. The sweater, everything is perfect. And I was like, okay, good. That's how my dad says that he's sorry. And that's fine. I don't need him to apologize. I just, you know, look in the freaking bag of clothes I brought you. Let's start to, you know, move forward a bit. But he's still stuck on this nurse. And I, you know, one thing about my father, he has taken a lot of the right steps to prepare for his retirement and whatever you call this part of his life, right? And, you know, so he can do really whatever he wants. And he wants to get this nurse. And I'm like, you know, okay, well, when do we need the nurse? At what point do you think in the day so we can start to figure this out? And, you know, I think the problem is he's just lonely. And so we will have to figure this out. But, you know, he is coming home today. I thought I'd come up and see if I could share a little, do a little podcast. And then I'm on the road to go pick up the old man. I'm excited to get him home. I think once he gets out of that place, he'll do better. You know, I don't want to compare it, but it sort of reminds me, it's, you know, when I, back in the, my drinking and drugging days, man, I was quite a piece of shit. And, to other people, I'm sure in my mind I was doing just fine. In my mind, you know, I was just living, having fun, right? No issues, you know, no big deals, right? I'm not getting arrested or whatever. So it just all seemed like just good living to Tom. But the reality was is that it wasn't great. And I slowly evolved, you know, into a different person due to the environment that I was in, especially with the drugs. San Diego is really tough, man. I'm just so grateful I even got out of there alive because I pushed myself to the maximum with drugs and alcohol and partying and carrying on and running around with people with guns and associating with bad folks. And didn't mean to, didn't start off like that. Just was a guy trying to get a job, right? I thought I'd use a little speed to wake up in the morning. Next thing you know, I'm in jail. And, but I didn't, it didn't turn that way overnight. And, you know, it just was my environment. It's just, you know, I obviously played a huge role in it, but, you know, the environment. When I look back at it, like if I was to put myself in that spot today, just, you know, miraculously put myself 1992 in San Diego, I'd be really freaked out, right? But at the time, it seemed normal and I was fine. It was the lifestyle that I lived. But I look back at it 10 and I'm like, oh my God, how did I ever get there? And, you know, some of the behaviors, you know, with my dad, you know, he can say, sometimes he says things most of us would not say, right? He will talk about somebody in a manner that most of us wouldn't do, right? And I give it, part of it I say is because he's gotten old and, you know, he's just, he just doesn't really care. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. You know, like the gown. I said, Dad, let's start getting dressed, right? I don't give a shit about anything. This gown is fine. I'm like, Dad, you know, where are you at, son? But, you know, and then I go, okay, right? And I don't know, should I be like, you know what, that's not, that we're not doing that. Get up, let's get dressed. I don't want to be that guy. So I don't know, and I'm sure as a parent, it happens with our kids. You know, I know when my parents were raising us, they slowly watched us slowly turn into, you know, some slightly hoodlums. you don't really want to see that happen, but you love your kids. And I don't know. It's weird. It's hard to unwind something that I've slowly watched wind up. And one of them being is just how his behavior is to me and other people. And like, I've been trying to say, Dad, you can't say that. You know, these people are here to help you. These dipshits. Like, Dad, dipsticks, assholes. Like, Dad, these people are here to help. I don't know. I think my dad was in this rehab before, and the same thing happened before. When he got out, he sort of got better. So I'm hoping once he gets out, you know, back to his house and doing his thing, he'll start to feel better. And you know, get out of this funk. But man, what a tough few weeks we've had. I'm grateful that he's better though. I was pretty worried about him. But yeah, so due to that, I'm actually going to work today. So I'm picking him up. I'm going to hang out with him. Then I've actually got to work. And then my buddy, my coach from paddling, a friend of ours is having a graduation party at a restaurant. So they invited everybody. And it was one of these big group texts. And everybody's like, can't make it, can't make it. And I'm like, I really should try to go. So I am going to do that. And that's at 6. So I do not think I'm going to make the meeting tonight, which is sort of disappointing. Yeah. And I didn't go to a meeting this weekend. And I did go to a meeting on Friday. I don't know if I've done this podcast since Friday. That was a great meeting. The girl that shared did a really nice job. I think she read out of the book, Big Book Into Action or something. Or I forget what she read, but she read something. She had a great share. 5 years. But you know, my message is that 5 years is, man, it gets better, right? This actually gets better. Some people, I don't know. I think 5 years can be a real tricky spot for a lot of people. I know I drank at 5 years, not exactly at 5 years. It was probably like 4.5 years, but you know, at some point, I was talking to my friend who's just got over a year. I'm like, you know, there will come a time when this meeting, absolutely going to meetings will absolutely be a drag, right? There comes a point where we suck all the joy and happiness out of going to meetings, and all we're left with is this burden of driving and going to meetings and hearing the same thing over and over, same people saying the same things, hearing my same things being said out of my mouth, and it just becomes a pain in the ass. And you know, and that's why, like today, I've said this, you know, if meetings are better than what you're doing at home, it's a social event, but they eventually lose their social eventness, right? They eventually aren't that great. It's a pain in the ass. And then we start to feel better, right? And the voices are like, you're doing so good. You don't need these meetings. And it bites us. And it's usually around 5 years. And, you know, and this girl that was sharing, and she did do a great job, but I was like, you know, and I forget sort of what she shared about, but basically the four horsemen and how they come roaring back. And, you know, at some point and my message, I think I shared, and basically I think I said, just, you know, sobriety won't keep us sober, right? There is a point in my recovery, or it became a point in my recovery where I really had to put my nose to the grindstone and do the work and figure out these steps, or I was going to be absolutely miserable and dry. And, you know, and of course I drank, which I always say I needed to. It sort of allowed me to step back and take a different look at these steps and how they work in my life. But, you know, today, and what I said to her is, you know, eventually, you know, we find serenity. And it's not talked about a lot for some reason, but there is this other level. And to me, serenity is where we use these steps in our life. You know, we've used these steps. We've cleaned up our life. We've, you know, deleted the history. You know, we've made peace with it. We've put it, you know, on a shelf where we can still see it, but we don't have to, you know, dwell on it. And we don't have to look over our shoulder, and we can start to try to do, you know, because after the eighth and ninth step, really, we're left with that 10th step. And then we can sort of just go off and live. And then when we have little hiccups, you know, we have the ability to make an amends, but we have to, you know, really make note to try not to do it again. If we keep doing it again, I maybe, you know, at some point we need to take a look back in our character defects and see if this character defect was missed. What's going on with this? There is a, you know, one of the things, and I've shared about this before, but one of the challenges I have today is sometimes I have bad thoughts, right? You know, I think about doing things like, oh, that'd be kind of cool. And then I'm like, you can't do that, right? You don't drink, you don't party, you don't go to bars. You know, it's usually other situations. And then you're like, oh, man, that would be kind of cool. And then all of a sudden the voices come in like, yeah, look how shitty your life is. That might be the direction. Screw this. That's where we need to go. And then I'm like, you're crazy. What are you talking about? And I reel myself back in, and then I'll be sitting on the couch and I'm like, God, you had that thought, right? I think it's normal, right? I think we have normal thoughts. I think we think about things, probably other relationships, right? The other sex. Sex, you know, is a tough is a tough subject. I don't even talk about it. To each his own, but it is, it can be a very confusing situation. And usually that's the one, you know, sometimes I'll have a situation comes up and I'm like, man, I wonder how that would work out. And I'm like, that wouldn't work out. It would never work out. You know, you have such a great life. What are you thinking about? You know, and that's just, I think that's just being honest, right? I think we all have, the grass is always greener on the other side, and it isn't. The grass is not always greener on the other side. I have to keep reminding myself that. And but then, you know, I don't think it's unusual to have thoughts, but what I seem to be doing lately is just sort of beating myself up for the thoughts. I'm like, well, you didn't have the action, right? You just thought about it. And then you use all the tools that we've learned to dissect, you know, whatever it is we're thinking, you know, put the real light on it, put some real sunshine on it, and then see the reality of it and think it all the way through, right? That was one of the things early on in recovery, and definitely before I even got sober, is I never would think things through, right? I would just do things and then be like, God damn, that fucking turned out bad. Today, right, I think it all through, all the way through. Where is this going to end up? And it never ends up good. And but I learned that in this program, right? Go on your second thought, whether it's bad thinking, right? Bad purchases, you know, whatever it is you want to do, I have to think it through. I have to think it all the way through. And it's been very helpful because it's probably saved my ass from a few predicaments. And I'm grateful for that. I was watching, one of the things I was watching last night, was watching football, and there's a FanDuel commercial. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but man, it is so dark, this commercial. This guy is like sitting in his living room. The fucking curtains are all closed. And he's sitting there in this like little living room. And to his left is his gambling devil, really. It's sort of a guy that looks like him, but he's the guy that's like, make the bet, right? And, you know, everywhere he went, like at the end of the commercial, he opens a drawer and the guy's face is in there, Carolina. And man, what a great example of what addiction looks like and how dark and tough it is when you're trying to not do whatever it is that we do. And that voice, right, that face, that person is just there going, do it, do it. And, alcoholism is my drinking is a character defect. My true issue is that I'm self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility, right? And so what falls under that? Gambling. And, I think a lot of people struggle with gambling right now, especially with all these apps. You know, this is the day, Monday and Tuesdays are the day where most people, you know, are actually sitting home with a lot of regret, right? Regret that they made these bets and gambled and lost. I was watching, I like Pat McAfee's show. One of the guys on there does the gambling. And he said that last week it was like 75% of the people that made bets lost. 75%. That is terrible. And then you have these apps that make it so easy. And this commercial for FanDuel was just so spot on what addiction was like, whether it's gambling, drinking, whatever it is that's got our number. It's that way, you know. He's sitting there like, I'm not going to make any bets. And then the guy next to him is like that devil. Let's make a bet, right? And it's just, it's so dark. And, you know, for all those gamblers out there today, man, I hope you won, I guess. I'm so grateful, right, that I don't gamble. I'm not into it, and I'm super blessed for that. All right, let me read the Daily Reflections, and I'm going to go get my dad. And, oh, my God, freaking people. Let's see here. All right. Real quick. Daily Reflections, where are we at? All right. Accept. I was an exception, September the 23rd. He, Bill W., said to me gently and simply, "Do you think that you are one of us?" Alcoholics Anonymous, page 413. During my drinking life, I was convinced I was an exception. I thought I was beyond petty requirements and had the right to be excused. I never realized that the dark counterbalance of my attitude was the constant feeling that I did not belong. At first in AA, I identified with others only as an alcoholic. What a wonderful awakening for me it has been to realize that if human beings are doing the best they could, then so was I. All of the pains, confusion, and joys that feel are not exceptional, but part of my life, just as much as anybody's. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what that means. Read that. It sounds good. Anyway, not much really going on. Just thought I would kick the week off, try to do a little podcast, start the week. And I'm not going to make it to a meeting tonight, so I thought I would at least share a few thoughts. But, you know, if you're new, keep coming back. If you're gambling, don't listen to that face in your drawer, right? Just one thing I've learned in my life and this recovery, it is a spiritual battle. And it's just demons and angels, man. Was it the plan all along? Did you just pretend?